Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Okay, listeners, I'm kind of fan geeking out right now because just a side note, I've been obsessed with Wendy Myers since I was, a little baby. When I was in vet school, I remember learning of all her wonderful scripts, and she's here today. We're going to talk about four ways to curb the no-shows with Wendy Myers. How are you, my friend?
I am awesome. And since you were a baby in vet school, makes me sound like I'm a senior citizen.
No, you're not at all.
I'm only 23 years in the industry.
Absolutely. But I've been, it's interesting because I know we're going to talk about this, but your videos on YouTube have been so powerful. So thank you for all those great, quick little sound bites and all that education that we needed. So just so helpful. So thank you for all the great work that you do in our industry.
And I think it's all about sharing ideas and resources. And one of the big trends I'm seeing now is people love little nuggets of information. They can learn a skill and immediately apply it.
Right. Yes. That's why I'm obsessed with TikTok as well. So to our listeners, Wendy Myers is best known as the Queen of Scripts, and she has taught communication and client service skills for more than two decades. As founder of Communication Solutions for Veterinarians, she teaches practical skills through online courses, on-site consulting, and conferences. Wendy was a partner in specialty and emergency practice for 5 years. She has authored 6 books and is a RACE CE provider. Learn more on her YouTube channel at youtube.com/CSVets and website at csvets.com. And we'll put all that information in the show notes too to our listeners as well. She's got this wonderful blog on 4 ways to end the no-show crisis to get ideas for questions as well. So that's going to be present. So let's get into it, my friend. So I just talked about this actually on TikTok on my live stream to clients. And interestingly enough, they didn't know that that was a real problem. So what is the average no-show rate and how does it impact practices?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think it just comes down to good manners. Like it's rude to make an appointment and not show up. But worse yet, what is happening right now with practices is most of us have just overloaded, double booked schedules. Many of us have a wait list for people to get in. Yes. So when someone no-shows, not only is there a financial consequence to the practice, but gosh darn it, that's an appointment that we could have helped a patient who needed medical care. And I think it's that ultimately patient care is first, but there is a financial impact. So let me give you some stats. So 11% is the average no-show rate. And I will tell you during COVID, we saw this go as high as 70%. But, wow. But the average, everyday practice is around 11%. So if you look at a typical veterinarian who sees about 3,000 appointments in the course of a year, and you look at the average doctor transaction, which is around $180 for that appointment, I would tell you much of us are much higher. I look at markets like Denver or Los Angeles or Portland, and you're going to probably see, well over $200 for an average doctor transaction. But if you take the 3,000 appointments times 11% and your average doctor transaction, you can kind of calculate your own hospital's no-show rate. So as an industry, what that comes down to is right around $60,000. And that's for one doctor. So the number gets bigger, the bigger the practice. So in a 5-doctor hospital, that's nearly $300,000. And that's just in revenue. Think of the number of patients that you would have seen, because if one of those no-shows was a sick pet appointment, it may have led to a second progress exam or other diagnostics. So we need to make sure that every client is fully prepared and knows the expectation and has good manners to show up for their appointments.
Yeah, absolutely. Interestingly enough, Wendy, I've noticed it more this year, the end of last year and a little bit of this year, is that hospitals are now prepaying for office visits a little bit, like asking for a deposit. So should hospitals collect deposits to prevent no-shows?
The customer experience person in me says no. Mm-hmm. I get it that we're busy and it's a financial consequence and it's rude and annoying. But here's the kind of double-edged sword is, yeah, you get the money up front, but what you risk is much bigger to me. So if you create the impression that it's all about the money, you're feeding a devil that we don't want to know.
Sure.
I also feel that when you collect money up front, and especially if it's a new client, it kind of starts that off as a rocky relationship. And then managers have to create this very complex deposit policy that defines how much do you have to pay? How do you pay it? Do you do it over the phone? Because then the practice is paying a higher merchant credit card fee. Or do you send them a link to pay? What are valid cancellation reasons? How far in advance do I have to cancel? And it just boils down to that it's an accounting nightmare. And I think it just rubs people the wrong way. So I think there are some other options, which I'll share for you today, that are actually better than collecting a deposit. The other word of caution I'll give you, Dr. Christman, is that depending upon where you're located, in what state, like California and Colorado have very different business laws around deposits. And you have to be really careful what you call it. That's why I heard you use the term prepayment. Because in California, if it's a deposit, you have to actually have a published and posted deposit policy so that your clients know what the rules are. The local laws may require you to do a refund. Whereas in Colorado, it sides with business and you don't have to give a refund regardless of the reason. So I will tell you, if you are going to collect deposits, check your local ordinances first so that you're going to follow the rules and be very careful of what you call it. But my advice, don't charge a deposit.
Right. Now, I understand you have four secrets that can help us curb some no-shows. So I'm
Now, let me walk you through them. And again, you'll have the blog post in the show notes so you can get all the details. But let me walk you through the four and then I'll kind of break down each of the steps. So number one is to confirm appointments earlier and more often. The second one is to make sure that you are requiring clients to complete online forms in order to guarantee their appointments. The third one is to contact clients who are not confirmed or haven't returned their forms, because those are the ones that are at greatest risk of being no-shows. And I actually do that 2 days before their appointment. Then the last one is actually to release appointments if they're not confirmed or if they haven't returned their form. So essentially, you are canceling that appointment rather than having the client no-show on you. But let me walk you through some of the details. So number one is confirm appointments earlier multiple times. I think traditionally, most practices have simply confirmed a day or two before. And the problem with that is that today, many of us are booking the checkup appointment 3 and 6 weeks out. So if I book an appointment today and it's 6 weeks out, and you don't remind me till 2 days before, my life may have radically changed in that 6 weeks, and I might be a no-show. And I think you really risk no-shows if you wait till the last minute to confirm. So what I want to do is have you actually confirm 4 times. And it also depends upon when the client books, how many notices they're going to get. So if they book an appointment for tomorrow, they're only going to get 1 notice. But if they were booked 3 weeks out, they're going to get 4. So the first notice is immediately after they book. Do you live your life on your phone, Dr. Christman? Do you have all your appointments on your phone?
You know, Wendy, when I get my Sunday night, how many hours a week I spend the screen time, it's 8.5 hours. So yes.
Yes. Yes. So the whole planet lives their life on their phone.
Everyone. Yes.
So when I make an appointment, I put it on my phone, I set an alert for a travel time, or if I'm on Zoom like we are, it's, you know, 10 minutes before. So I know I'm ready, I have all my information, and I am on time. So because people then can put it on their calendar and set that little button on, you know, time to leave alert, makes a huge difference. So first confirmation is immediately after booking. Second is 2 weeks prior. And the messaging changes just a little bit. We want to know, does this still work for you? Then the third confirmation is 4 days ahead. And then the last one is 2 days before. And I want to make sure that in your confirmations, you just don't say, you know, Fluffy has an appointment 10 a.m. Tuesday. You need to go beyond that and have links to online forms, a call to action to reply to confirm or click on a link to reschedule. And I also want you to think about things that will drive compliance. So in your confirmations, if it's for a checkup, it needs to have a reminder for them to bring that stool sample, because then it's a lot more convenient. And honestly, for your team, it's faster and more productive, because then you don't have to collect a sample, which can take, you know, 5 to 7 minutes, depending on how cooperative that patient is. Then for the new clients, what I love to do is actually include a link to driving directions. So on a smartphone, you know, I just touch that link and it gives me turn by turn directions, and I'm more likely to be an on-time client as well. If you want all of my templates, because I'm a big believer in making sure that you customize those for your practice, you can download my ebook, and it's called Everything You Need to Know About Reminders, and it's free because we all love free stuff. And just go to csvets.com/reminders and you can get the ebook. So not only does it have all the appointment confirmation templates 1 through 4, but it has a procedure and medication refills. So that'll be a great bonus for you. And then the second strategy really is to require that clients complete online forms in order to guarantee their appointments. So Dr. Christman, have you been to a physician lately where you had to fill out online paperwork?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Yep. I had to go see a neurologist for a problem with my neck from traveling with all these heavy bags. And yep. The good news is I'm okay. But before I could even make an appointment with the neurologist, I had to fill out online patient history forms. And it was pretty fast. Took me about 10 minutes to do. You know, you answer all the questions, you upload all the insurance information that they need and all your contact information. And because I invested 10 minutes of my life in preparing for that doctor appointment, I'm also more likely to show up. And I want you to do the same thing with your clients. So depending upon what appointment type they book, they get a corresponding online form. So most of us have our practice management software with the appointment scheduler, and they all have drop-down menus where you can choose appointment type. So if I click on checkup, it sends me the corresponding link to a checkup confirmation. If I book a sick patient exam for my cat, Alex, it sends me the sick patient online form. So those things you just program once and let it ride, makes it super easy. And then the third key is to contact clients if they are unconfirmed or they are slow getting their paperwork in ahead of time. And you do this 2 days ahead. And what I want you to do is actually leave them a message and explain that we need your form today, because this is it's always due the day before, and give them a deadline. We need it today by 5:00. I usually say, do it like an hour before you close. If you close at 6, say we got to have it by 5, or, and this is the magic word, your pet's appointment will be released to another patient in need. And released is kind of a nicer word than canceled, but that's essentially what you're doing. So you introduced me as the queen of scripts. So I've got one for you. So when your team calls, and this is usually the CSR team, I have them explain that, you know, we have an appointment reserved for your pet on Thursday at 2:00. We are experiencing increased appointment demands. We need your form by 5:00 today, or Fluffy's appointment will be released to another patient in need. Please reach out if you have questions. You can call, text, or email us. So the key is you have to kind of put people on notice and remind them. And then the last step is just to release it if they don't respond, but send them a text. Explain that you've released the appointment because we haven't heard from you. Because I want to make sure you then also give them a link to be able to rebook online.
Right. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. I love that script too. It's awesome. And, you know, training, I think of training when you just talk about scripts. I think that's wonderful that we're talking about too. So how can we make our confirmations more effective and train clients to show up?
Yeah. So the key is you have to have action words and deadlines. So let me give you a couple of examples. Just don't say, you know, Max has appointment 9:00, you know, July 1st. What you need to do is actually have not only the time and date of the appointment, but links to forms. You know, Max has an appointment 9 a.m. July 1st, complete the online form at, and then there's a hyperlink where they can literally click on their phone and do that. I then have them reply to confirm or on another link to reschedule. And I explain in that confirmation, and you'll find this actual text template in the ebook, that you have to have that form at least 24 hours prior, or that appointment will be released to another patient in need. I also want you, because I feel like a lot of practices send email confirmations, probably more so than text, and text is actually better. But when you send email, most people, in fact, 62%, open their email on their phone. So I want you to think about the character count on a phone screen. And it's only 30 to 40 characters. So that would include the spaces between words. So 30 to 40 characters will fit on a mobile screen. If you have 60, they don't see the end part, which is maybe your call to action. So here's an example of a really short email subject line for a mobile device. Max has an exam, 9 a.m., July 1, complete form now. So it has time, date, pet's name, which is just a data field you can customize in your software. And the big call to action, complete form now. I think that is super important. If you're doing the email, the body of the email is important because you want to get a good open rate. But then when they read it, people are skimmers. You know, they're scrolling and skimming. And I like to use bullets and numbered list, you know, click here for the online form. Email your records ahead for those new client confirmations. I don't want to have them just show up and here's the records. And then we're trying to quickly get an input in the software where if you have it actually come in to email prior to their visit, you can already have all that information in the record and the veterinarian and technician can review it prior to going into the exam room. And here's a bonus tip. I want you to set up a special, unique email like records at. Don't just have all the records and online forms come into your general clinic info at, because literally most clinics get more than 100 emails a day. And it's easy for that stuff to get buried in all your other communication. So have it go specifically to records at, and then your hospital email. And then it's easy just to sort and copy and paste and put those in the electronic medical record. And that's, I think, really important. So you can be a lot more efficient in how you have to handle that information.
Huge, especially if you're a big doctor practice, you have multiple doctors, right? So much communication going through. So I really love that. And I know you touched on this briefly, but what is the difference in response rates for email versus text confirmations?
It's huge. So text have a 98% open rate and text, majority of them are opened within 3 minutes of receipt. Okay, 3 minutes. And 98%. So when we look at email open rates, a lot of the industry statistics will sort it by industry. So I looked at healthcare email rates, and it is a dismal 21%. So what would you rather have? 98% of people see it or only 21%?
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's just a clear difference. So that's why I tell hospital managers every quarter, you need to run a report in your practice management software and say, hey, who has not opted in for text from our hospital? And you send them an email with benefit statements of here's all the cool things you can do with this by text. Click here to opt in and start getting text reminders from us. And every quarter, because it's this constant data management. Yes, you have it on your new client form, but you probably have clients that have been clients there for 10 or more years. And you need to make sure you have them moving over to text because just the response rate is tremendous.
Yeah, it's huge, unparalleled from one to the other. So incredible. And how are hospitals using the online forms to improve productivity?
Well, you experienced it with a recent doctor appointment, so did I. And what it really allows the team to do is read the answers that the client submitted before they walk in cold to the exam room. So they literally can just go in and ask follow-up questions because on like on a checkup form, it's all of the standard questions that we ask on what heartworm preventative are you using and when did you give the last dose? What are you feeding? You know, the coughing, sneezing, vomiting question. I literally think that a good history takes for the technician, that basic history to get going, you know, can take, you know, 5 to 10 minutes. And then the doctor comes in and asks additional questions. And that's like a 10-minute time suck in the appointment. And if I can get all those questions answered in an online form, plus now the client is committed to showing up and all I have to do is read their answers and ask one or two follow-up questions. Huge time saver. So if you add it up for a doctor who's seeing appointments all day long, you can save about 2.5 hours a day just in doctor and technician exam time. And that 2.5 hours can be done on, you know, more follow-up, or maybe you are able to shorten and tighten your appointments. Instead of 30 minutes, maybe you can see that patient in 20 minutes. It makes a huge difference.
Huge difference. You know, whenever I had records sent to me ahead of time, especially as a new client, the pet parents truly appreciated the fact that I was aligned and ready to rock and roll when I walked in there, because nothing, just like to your point, if you and I go to our own doctor, I feel like you got to go through the records and you just have this anxiety. You just want to be seen and heard and listened versus, you know, when they had the records ahead of time, I understand we're diabetic, we're cushionoid. I know what dose we're on. I know that we had some, you know, intermittent urinary tract infections. Oh my gosh, you get me. Yes. You know, so and I just think from a customer service perspective, it's much more powerful that way as well. So I just
When you come in and ask very focused questions like that, clients are like, you appreciate my time too. Right.
Yes.
That you know, I invested my 10 minutes and you actually read what I wrote, which, you know, always makes me super happy. Right. And I think you create that bond and connection, and they're more likely to trust what your next step is going to be rather than revisiting it. I think too often we're just regurgitating the same question every time, when really it's better just ask follow-up questions to those answers.
Yep. Absolutely. I love it. So then my question to you on the opposite side, so what should teams do if clients haven't confirmed or returned their online forms?
Okay. So that's 2 days prior. You're going to reach out and call them, and you're going to explain that we've reserved an appointment for Max on Thursday at 9 a.m. And that you have to explain the why, because people don't realize that your schedule is a hot mess right now.
Yeah.
And so you literally in your message say, we are experiencing increased appointment requests and we have patients on a wait list. And that's the truth for most practices. We've got people on a wait list. We need your confirmation by 5 o'clock today, or your pet's appointment will be released to another patient in need. Call, text, email us with questions. And then what I want you to do is not only leave the voicemail, but then send a backup text or email, whichever is the client's preferred communication method. Because here's the reality. 19% of millennials do not check their voicemail. Do not. So millennials are now the largest pet owning segment. So if you're leaving a voicemail, they're going to say, oh, I didn't get it. So you have to send a backup text or email always.
Do you know how many messages, voicemail messages, Wendy, that I still have that are blue that I have not read?
I have one on my phone, just only one, from June of 2020.
Wow, that's really good. Yeah, I keep getting like, your voicemail box is almost full. I'm like, oh gosh, I can't
check it. Send a text. Remember, send a text. 98% open rate. Majority of texts are read within 3 minutes of receipt.
Wow, love it. And then, so what do you do if you release the unconfirmed appointment and the client still shows up?
This happens. Okay.
Yeah.
Not very often, because you've sent the text and or email and a voicemail. Okay. So, you know, you've kind of double communicated it, but it still can happen. Not very often though. I would say probably less than 10% of people who you have released the appointment will show up. So it's a small amount. But the key is you want to try and be a veterinary hero and still make care happen, because, you know, they are there right now with their pet. Now, chances are you've already filled that empty slot. So what I do is first I explain that we regret that you didn't get our voicemail that we left at 4:59 Tuesday. We also sent a text. Let me make sure we have your right cell number, because it could be that we have the wrong cell number or the wrong email. And so it's an opportunity for us to fix it in our practice management software. So first do a little bit of data cleanup and then explain, let's see how we can help your pet today. And then it's going to depend upon your schedule in that exact moment, which options you have available. Let me give you two, because let's say your schedule's totally full, which it typically is every day. and you don't have like another spot you can slide that person in. I would tell you one choice would be to offer a day admission appointment. And I want to be very specific in this language. We have to stop as a profession calling it a drop-off. It sounds horrible and it devalues the professional service. And it sounds like ridiculous. Like, would you drop off grandma at a hospital for medical care?
I know. It sounds like I'm dropping off groceries.
Yeah. I'm dropping off dry cleaning. Like, no.
Yeah. Right.
It's called a day admission appointment. So it also communicates that your pet's going to stay the day at the hospital and that there is an admission process. So I explained we can do a day admission appointment. You'll meet with the technician for about 10 or 15 minutes. And that's why essentially the technician is going to have the online form and answer those questions, because that's what needs to be communicated to the doctor. The other super important tip I would give you is that technician or assistant who does the day admission with that patient needs to take the patient's vital signs and assess as a medical priority, how does this then fit in our day admission? Because the patient's going to go to treatment and now needs to be prioritized. So let's say that it was an appointment for a sick cat who ain't doing right. Client doesn't fill out the forms. We have released the appointment. She still shows up and we go through the history questions and the technician does the vital signs. And based upon the answers and the assessment of the patient, the technician is like, male cat, everything is telling me could be blocked. This now is a high priority day admission. It's probably actually now an emergency. It's not a parking in a cage for 4 hours until somebody gets to it. So super important. Have a history form of everything that needs to be answered for the doctor, and then confirm what number can we reach you at today? Because the doctor is going to text or call with exam findings and next steps. And this is an instance where you may want to have the client authorize up to a certain dollar amount of care. So if it's that sick patient, you may have them authorize up to X dollars of care. Because if we have to go into emergency surgery, we need permission to kind of get things going. Obviously, we would call the client and explain once we knew the diagnosis, what's happening, and you can email them the treatment plan. But if it's unknown, like vomiting, diarrhea, it could be 100 things. You might collect $500 upon the day admission. The other option is if it's a checkup visit, you know how much is an exam, what vaccines you're going to give, and what flea tick and heartworm preventatives you're going to refill. The diagnostics you're going to run, everything from a heartworm tick test to a senior screen. And you can literally give the client a treatment plan right then that they can sign off on when they're day admitted. The other choice would be to do a work-in and they're just going to wait to be seen. It might be 45 minutes or an hour. And you're going to try and just work them in to whoever is the first available, a doctor that can see them. And then I think an ultimate choice is to say, you know, we're completely full, because you also have to set a limit on the number of day admissions that you'll see, because you can't have 20 day admissions in the treatment area. No. It's just too much on top of an already full outpatient schedule. So the other option is to reschedule that appointment. But if you can, try and make care happen.
Yeah, I love that, Wendy. We're living in such a different time post-COVID. And I agree with you. It's like everybody wants to be seen. They want to be seen yesterday, you know, and sometimes they'll say, oh, my phone is off. I didn't get the message. And can I still be seen today? And what do you mean if you don't, they're not going to see me? Like, I'm going to blast you on social media if that's the case. You know, there's like so many different variables now that come into play, but these have been really, really helpful. So where can we learn more about all these great sound bites? Tell us one more time about the gift that you're going to be giving out to the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have my latest book is an ebook. I'm not doing print anymore. Like, it's so much easier. You can read it on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer, and share it with others too. So ebook, everything you need to know about reminders, includes three things: all of the text and email confirmations for appointments. Second is for procedures. So like all the fasting instructions, and it's the 1 through 4 confirmations. And then the third is medication refill reminders. So you need to make sure you're sending clients reminders to refill medication before it runs out. Otherwise, you get blasted with same day emergency refills. I need it today. I gave the last pill. So that ebook will help you a lot. You mentioned my YouTube channel. I literally have over 100 videos there. They're all 2 to 3 minutes, little snippets. And you can go and watch there again on your phone, youtube.com/CSVets. And then my website, csvets.com. Easy to find.
Great job, Wendy Myers. Such a pleasure chatting with you. Thank you for all the great insight that you do for this profession.
Thank you. And thanks for your leadership and bringing teams resources, because I feel like the more that we can share ideas, we help all practices become more efficient, more productive, and ultimately deliver amazing client experiences.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's my jam. I love it. Thank you so much. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.